Well, how many is ready for the word? Preach it, brother. I like that. So thank you, Jesus, for the word this morning. And Lord, I pray that people will hear you in this message, God. And Father, that I will not hinder that, but may your voice be heard, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was actually going to honor Marlene next Sunday because of her many years of dedication to Kitso. But if you're going to be gone, then I might postpone it to another Sunday. But I just want to say, Marlene, thank you for, and I will honor you. I will we'll make a Sunday. We'll honor you for pointing to those kids. Bless you, Marlene. Meaning in life. Oh, that sounds deep. So, this is kind of my second part to my testimony a little bit. When I was a teenager, to this day, I have no idea why I did this, but I began to read some of these books. How many of you have ever watched a movie called God Is Not Dead? And one of the first scenes is the young man in his first class with the professor. Remember that? In philosophy. And he writes down a list of books that they are to read. Voltaire, Camus, Paul Sartre, Russell, I forget his last name, first name. Bertrand Russell, and others. And you know what? I read those books. I read those books when I was 15, 16, 17, 18 in there. I don't remember exactly, but I read these books. And they, my friends, are the most horrible books. But they had a question. And the question was, what is the meaning in life? But they had no concept of God. But they all came to logical consequences. That if there is no God, there is really no purpose. Camus, I don't know if you read this. You may have read it in high school. But there was this story and in one of his books of a celestial being who was punished by the gods because he was a spy. And his punishment was to take a rock and roll it up the mountain. And within 10 feet of the top, the rock would stop and roll down again. And then the next thing he would do is he would roll it back up. And for all eternity, that was his punishment. How many believe that it's hell having to do something that has really no meaning or purpose? I worked one day in a chicken factory. And I looked. I think my job was to take this chicken, put it on a conveyor belt, like that. And I thought, if I do that one more day, I'll turn into one of those chickens. It was completely mindless, brainless. I just thought to myself, I couldn't do this. Lev Tolstoy. If you ever remember War and Peace, that's the one he wrote. When he was 50, he had a midlife crisis, and he realized that everything he did, everything he ever accomplished, will vanish, and he'll be forgotten. So then the question was to him, then why is it worth doing it if it's all for nothing? And he had really an existential crisis. Now, I knew that if you think through that if there is no God, then really this life is all there is, and therefore there is really no particular purpose. Let me say it this way. If you are in a Titanic, and in a Titanic, you know you're going down. How many knows that the world is going down? That's coming to an end. If you know you're going down, and there is no God, then really it doesn't matter whether you hit somebody or kill somebody or steal their money or it's nice. In the end, it makes no difference. Are you with me? It makes no difference. However, if there is a God, no, I'm not going to say it that way. But because there is a God, there is a meaning. there is a meaning in life. You are not created for nothing. You are unique, amazing, unique. There are 6 point some billion people in the world today, and there's no one like you. With your eyes, with your fingerprints. Wow. So what is the meaning in life? How many likes to know? Thank you. So here's the meaning. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And then it goes on further on and says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his, what? Glory. The glory of one and only Son who came from the Father, full of? I got this. Do you know, I read these philosophy books because I thought, if I read deep thinkers, I'll be smart. How many likes to look smart? But honestly, I didn't understand half of the books. Now, here is something in this particular scripture. And I got it from a guy called Tim Keller. Logos is a Greek name for word. How many heard that before? Now, he says that back when this was written, the Greeks were arguing about the meaning in life. And they loved to argue. And then John wrote this. The Word was in the beginning. And the Word there, my friend, in their understanding of the Word, is the meaning of life. So here is the answer. What is the meaning of life? It is not what you do. It is actually a person. The Word became flesh. That word, my friend, is the meaning in life. When I get married, I have a purpose. It is to love my wife. Remember? But that purpose is not eternal. That is temporary, even though it's wonderful. But when my relationship is with Jesus, the Word, God who created everything. When my relationship is with Jesus, I come into an internal purpose and meaning. So that He will show me what my life is all about. Amen? So, it says, the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory. In John 17, can you hang with me for a minute? Just hang with me. I got to explain this, because it's a revelation to me as well as it is, I think, for all of us, okay? In John 17, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he prays, he talks to his Father. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Who is he bringing glory to? The Father. What is glory, by the way? Glory, my friend, is, there is no one word I can capture this. It's such an amazing concept. But it's really the presence. It's really the weightiness of God. It's really the radiance of God. It's really the honor and the praise of God. It is really the magnificence of God. It is just unbelievable a way of describing the glory. Are you with me? And it's given. I brought you. He's talking about the Father. I brought the Father glory. I brought the Father honor and praise and adoration. So go a little further down in John 17, then he's praying. I give them the glory. Who's he talking about now? I'm giving them. He's talking about us. I give them glory. His glory is not being shared with us. That you gave them, that you give me the glory that the Father gave Jesus, he's sharing with us. That they may be one as we are one. Are you with me? I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Why is the glory of God given to us? Why does the glory of Jesus being shared with us? So that we can become in complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen. So here it is. How did he receive the glory? You know how he received the glory? When the Father in heaven at a time of baptism said, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased with." That was the Father giving glory to his Son. How did Jesus give glory to his Father? He says, "I only do whatever I see the Father do." When he talked to the leper that was an outcast, diseased person, he demonstrated the glory of the Father. When he saw the hungry people and he fed them, he revealed the glory of his Father and gave him the glory. When he saw the widow with her son in the casket and went and ministered to her needs, he demonstrated the glory of the Father. But he hung on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." He demonstrated the heart of the Father, which is mercy. Amen? So how did he give us glory? And he says, "Hence, we don't deserve glory." No, we don't. But nonetheless, he redeemed us. He redeemed Jonathan. Redeemed you and I from the past. And do you know how he gets the glory? How we get the glory? How we get glory? We become sons and daughters of God. Amen? And what are sons and daughters supposed to do? They're supposed to reflect the glory of Jesus. So then the question is, so Hans, how do you do that? What happened to you? How many likes to know that? I was principal of Christian school. Let me just say it again. Your meaning comes from a relationship with Jesus. And like Jesus reflected the Father, when you see me, you see the Father. We too are reflecting the Son. That's our purpose. When I was in Christian school, one day we had a young man who had a headache, and we told the parents to come and get him. It happened to be our pastor's son. It turned out that he had a cancerous tumor. And we were having a birthday party for me and Janet. We happened to have a birthday the same day, so it was November 28th, in the church. And his son was laying in the bed next door. There was a manse. We got a call that the son had died. He's 12 years old, Paul's age. And so we prayed for the family and left. And as I was going home, the Holy Spirit said, "Turn around and go and see the family." And I walked into that room. Can I just say something? When you walk with Jesus, and he has a call on your life, because he has a call on all of your life, he begins, this is what happens. He begins to put on your heart what's on his heart. Long before I ever become a pastor, he begins to put on my heart what's on his heart. How many believe that? I turn around, goes into this room to comfort them, and I honestly felt such a peace as they had said goodbye to this. Shortly after that, they came to me and said, Hans, I wanted to renew the contract. And I said, you know what? I feel that God is calling me to pastor. Give me a month to pray. And one day I sat in my office, and as I was sitting in my office, I said, Jesus, is that you calling me to pastor? Or is it just my own imagination? You know, sometimes ministry can look pretty good from the outside. So, and I had a pastor who said, don't ever go into pastor. So anyway, there I was. And I said, God, I need to know. So he said, what evidence do you want? Honestly, I remember it like a thought came. What evidence do you want, Hans? I said, let the pastor call me to preach. Again, I gave him a testimony, and I come again to preach. And let somebody else tell me I am to be a pastor. I thought that was a pretty good trick. So, that Sunday afternoon, on Monday, I got a phone call from the pastor. Hans, would you like to preach next Sunday? I thought, that sounds like God. So I preached next Sunday, and there was a French guy who was completely illiterate, who ran a glass business. And he came up to the pastor and said, Hans is to be a pastor. This French guy actually learned how to read the Bible supernaturally. But he couldn't read anything else, but he could read the Bible. It's amazing. He came and said, Hans should be a pastor. And I told my wife, and guess what she said? Oh, no. To make a long story short, I went to Bible school, and honestly, felt it was academically dry. So I look out the window, and I saw the neighbor running, putting garbage in a garbage can. And it stirred up my courage, the greatest courage I could get. I said, Janet, would you please go and invite her for coffee? So he went and invited her for coffee. And he was able to lead her to Jesus. And pray for her. She had a son who had type 1 diabetes. Why was that happening? Because God was already putting it in my heart what he had called me to do. So sometimes people sit in the pews and say, well, what about me? What about me? God will put on something on your heart. And you step into it, and it'll have eternal significance. The fact that you are in church today, this morning, has eternal significance. You think, oh, well, it's just a 1 hour on a Sunday morning. First of all, you have spent time with God. You're listening to his word. And you're encouraging one another in your faith. So, then I was invited to come and preach here a few times. And one day Oscar said, Hans, one day you're going to be a pastor here. And I felt it was a word from God. And then Rick Mann called me and said, Hans, would you like to come and candidate? And so I came. It was not a clear vote, I can tell you that much. I don't want to go into details, but it was hurting. There had been a split. There's been another whatever. So I came into a mess. Do you know why I took the job? Because most pastors don't with the vote I had. I had only 69%. Do you know why I took the vote? Because God has said, this is where you're going. I'm just celebrating 23 years of being in this church. So here it comes. God has given me his presence, his glory. It's in me, it's in you. Now, what do I do with that? Because it is given to us to bring unity and oneness among us. How do I reconcile when there's division in the church? How do I bring his presence into this place? That was my question. And God put on my heart to do a communion service. And I said to everyone, this coming Sunday, we're going to deal with our past. And I'm going to open the mic for anybody who has something they ask for forgiveness for. And we're going to break bread together. My wife makes some bread. Remember that time, Cammie? Kevin? Maddie? And she made some bread without yeast. And I had everybody write down the offenses that they experienced on a piece of paper. And then collected them in a bread pan. And a tin foil on top, and we put a match to it. Symbolic of Jesus took it. Took the offense. It smoked so bad that we had to run out on the steps. Can I just say something? Offense stinks. It smells. And it smells up churches. And so I said, now go and break bread for one another. And if you have something against somebody or something you didn't know there's a problem, before you break the bread, ask for forgiveness. And the people did. I knew somebody had something against me, and I went to them and said, will you forgive me? So that broke it. That broke it. I'm sharing this with you because you too have the glory on you, and you too is called to reconcile and bring the body together in oneness and unity. You don't need to be a pastor. So the question is, how do I bring this to other people? And this was my question yesterday. How do I minister the glory of God? How do I minister the presence of Jesus without me being glorified? Bill Prankett said this. He said that the problem with breaking into ministry is twofold. You have the one who says, and you may be sitting in the pew and saying this, I can't do that. I can't help somebody to find eternal meaning. I can't do something for God that has eternal purpose. I'm just a nobody. I'm shy. Some of you might sit and think that. But there is another one that's equally a problem. And I heard this story of a woodpecker. A little woodpecker. We had them in the hills. And it was a big tree, a humongous tree. And the little woodpecker goes, ping. And he goes and leans really back and goes, ping. And the lightning hit the tree and splits in half and knocks the little bird unconscious. And my friend, the bird becomes conscious. And he looks at the tree and said, look what I did. Some people step up and they pray for somebody and they healed. And they said, look what I did. Look what I can do. Come to me. I got a healing hand. My wife prayed for somebody on Sunday and actually got touched. But she doesn't go around and say, come to my healing hand. You see, the meaning in life comes when you reflect Jesus. So my question is, how can I share my testimony so it's not about me, but about him? You see, how can I share stories? And I was just talking to Derek yesterday, and we're talking about at times the Holy Spirit just seemed to orchestrate things. You see, if I look at my testimony, I can honestly say, I did not choose God, but he chose me. I talked to Derek yesterday, and I said, I remember, Derek, when God supernaturally touched you on the Christmas Eve service. You see, when we can celebrate his glory by bringing attention to him. When Peter and John was questioned, in what authority do you heal that man who was crippled? They said, it was in the name of Jesus. What does Jesus say about you? Lots of things. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, and if you lose your saltiness, what good is it? He said, you're the light. Remember? You're the light. But the light is not to shine on me. It is to shine on him. So how do I do that? How do I do that? How many would like to know how to do that? How many like to just thinking, okay, how do I use my stories? How do I use my experiences so that he gets the glory? Because when you do that, you're actually fulfilling the meaning that God has given you. So I was thinking, it happens twice a year. I was thinking how it often happens for me. It's when I sit down with somebody. You see, how many heard of Mother Teresa? One person heard of Mother Teresa. How many has heard of Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa said this. This is your meaning in life. Go and find somebody with a need and meet it. And when you finish that, find somebody else with a need and meet that. And she said, I came from a classroom of girls in Albania, and every one of those girls has more talents than I had. But the reason that God used me is because I surrendered. I said, Jesus, use me, whatever it costs. So when I have friends, when I sit down with somebody at a healing lodge, this is how it works when it works well. Because I sometimes mess it up. I go in there with a conscious decision. I'm going to minister the love of Jesus to these people. Do you know what I do? I say, I listen. Do you know what I listen for? Their need. Their need. I shared last Sunday about Debbie Blakely. I met her one of the first times at the credit union. And I said, how are you doing? She said, my husband has cancer. That was the need. That was the need. When you hear and listen, listen with the Holy Spirit. Listen. How many knows that Jesus was a good listener? If you ever read the story of the Good Samaritan, the woman at the well, he understood her need. She had been rejected by five husbands. He brought her to that place and then revealed who he was. How many believe you can do that? You can do that. God is good. How many believe the Holy Spirit is on you? And because the Holy Spirit is in you, you have a purpose in life. And it is actually to reveal the glory that God has given you. The salt loses its saltiness when it no longer brings unity to the body. That's my interpretation. How many have ever heard people grumble and complain against the church? You see, I discovered when I became a pastor that not everybody liked you. Not everybody liked your music. Not everybody thought that your sermons were too short. My friends, I think there's nothing that grieves God more when his people who carries the glory begin to tear down his bride. You see, he told me, he said, Hans, you need to express my love. Oh, I love Sherry and Don and Colin. They love me. They're good to me. I would love them every day. That's easy. Did you know what he said in the Bible? He didn't say, love those who can love you back. He said, love your. Do you know who your enemies are? Sometimes those who are in the midst of you. And if you do, there is an eternal reward. There are people. There was a season when I got a phone call from a lady who said, Hans, you know what they're talking about you? They're saying bad things about you. I have no clue what I did to them, but they somehow felt hurt or rejected. I don't know what happened. But when she phoned, I didn't really want to. I said, I don't want to hear it. I just bless you. I still have reached out to them. Sometimes people project their pain and problems on you. Forgive them. Love them. Amen. So, will you stand with me? Oh, I forgot. Thank you for being so patient. But we're going to take communion. I think it's very appropriate for us to take communion at this time. This is what Mother Teresa did. He said, I told Jesus, use me at whatever cost. This little tiny woman. How many have seen pictures of her? She is short and she walks like that. Has had more influence in the world than kings and popes. Because God granted her the favor. Because she did what was on the heart of Jesus. To reach out to the hurting and the dying people in Calcutta. When you hang out with Jesus, he will show you your purpose and the meaning. Amen. So, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, in our hearts, in our quiet time, will surrender our lives to you. As I heard a man say, he said, Lord, make me a coin in your pocket and spend me as you choose. Lord, Would you use this church to bring glory to your name? And Lord, as we take communion together, may we do it as a one body, as your bride, giving thanks for all that you have done. Amen. You may be seated one more second here, and I'll ask the elders to come and help me.